Gator Dave with us on this Tuesday edition. How you been, sir?
I'm good, Bill. Just trying to wave through all this. It's still ramping up Florida Georgia talk.
Oh, really? They're still batting that around down there, huh?
Oh man, Griff set the world on fire last Friday, Bill. And I've had Griff on my podcast, you know, and I know he joins you every Tuesday like I do, but. That remark about Strickland last week didn't sit too well with Gator fans out there.
Yeah, he was on Feinbaum, and he said because of the AD at Georgia, at Florida, and the AD at Georgia Tech, that those two blocked Georgia from getting into the Final Four last year, the national championship hunt last year. Yeah, tell you what, Feinbaum loves that kind of controversy, but Feinbaum even got after him.
Yeah, I just don't know really where it was coming from. And hey, if it is true, I mean, Scott Strickland must be the most powerful AD in sports, Bill, because, Florida was apparently afraid to play UCF in a bowl game, and he got Florida out of that. And apparently he got Georgia out of the college football playoffs, too. So, if Scott Strickland's that powerful of an AD, that means Florida's got the best AD in the country, right?
Has Strickland even commented on that?
No, I doubt he does at all. Mullen was at a speaking engagement last night in Lakeland, Polk County down there, and the whole Georgia attendance joke from last week was asked about that, and Mullen kind of just jokingly poked more fun at the Georgia fan base there, saying if they're that wound up about it, then maybe there's something to it. So
right now, basically, we've got Mullen versus Griff in this whole thing, right? Is that where we're at?
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe that's what it turns into. But yeah, I mean, we've talked about it the last couple of weeks, Bill. But the rivalry just keeps finding new things every week to get more ramped up. And even though Florida's got Miami first, and then a lot of big games before that, a lot of people are already circling that Florida Georgia game on the calendar.
Speaking of Florida-Miami, which will be August 24th, an early game, Tate Martell, I think, actually completed some passes in the spring game. Gators seem to be worried about that, you think?
No, not really, Bill. before going into the spring game last week, there was some talk of Martell not necessarily living up to the hype after transferring from Ohio State. And, it probably looks, it still looks to be somewhat of a quarterback battle down there at Miami with the three guys, Perry, Martell, and Jaren Williams there. So it was like a three-way battle still going there. But with all the hype that Martell brought with him and the transfer from Ohio State, many just assumed that he was going to be the guy there, but not so sure. So, if I'm Miami, I don't know how much of a difference it makes, but I probably keep who the starter is as quiet for as long as I can. You still got me, Bill?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay. And, I probably keep that as secret, as long as secret as I can, and have Todd Grantham and Dan Mullen guess them the whole time.
Let me throw this at you. Year two, sometimes after a really good year one, is a settling in period. It's not necessarily a year where you get a better record. It's another stability type year. Are Gator fans prepared for that if indeed that's the case?
Bill, I did talk about that on the podcast a little bit last night, as in, ESPN came out with their college football predictor, college football playoff predictor last week, and they had the Gators about ninth in that, in that hierarchy, and with about a 10% chance of making the college football playoff. And that got some Gator fans kind of happy to be in the college football playoff conversation once again. And I think Gator fans realize where the offensive line is right now, and especially coming out of spring and Dan Mullen mentioning they probably have to go get a grad transfer in that situation. And I think they expect Felipe Franks to take another step. They like skill position players. They like what Todd Grant can do on defense. But a lot of Gator fans are still worried about what that offensive line may bring about. And that is kind of tempering expectations a little bit. I don't think they'd necessarily be happy with record-wise, maybe a step back. I still think, you know, talking Florida, Georgia, I still think when we get to the first weekend of November, that's the showdown game. That's the game that's going to determine if Florida's going to win the SEC East or not. And I think that game has to be close. If that game's not any closer, if that game is, you know, another blowout, Georgia win, and I think there's going to still be some disappointment along Gator Nation. Still some realization that this is Dan Mullen's second year. He's improving the roster. Still got to get his pieces in there. But, you know, Bill, that's what happens when you have a really successful first season and expectations get ramped up pretty fast. And I don't think Gator Nation would be too upset with a small step hair back, of course, maybe according to how it looks. But I do think they expect to be a little closer to Georgia this year, and really circling that game is kind of a barometer of where the team and where the program is at.
I've seen some random predictions on Twitter where it's got Georgia 1, talking about the SEC East, Florida 2, and then Tennessee number 3. You think Tennessee has come far enough? And do you think this is more about Tennessee being improved or the disbelief that Kentucky, Vandy, Missouri, South Carolina can maintain?
I do think it's probably a little more of those maintained. I know a lot of people expect Kentucky to take a step back with everything they lost. I kind of like Missouri with Kelly Bryant probably in that third spot. I might would even pick South Carolina except for that schedule. I'd still have to put Missouri and South Carolina above Tennessee right now. And heck, I mean, until Tennessee can actually beat a Will Muschamp coach team, I kind of have to look at it that way right now. But, you know, Tennessee returns a lot of pieces. Garantano, can he take another step forward? You know, a lot of people are looking at him in the same light as Felipe Franks. Got better last year, showed some improvement. Now you got Cheney coming in as offensive coordinator. Can he take that next step? There's just a lot of, you know, a lot of pieces there, and offensive line there I know is an issue as well. So I'd still have to peg Tennessee behind South Carolina, Missouri as far as just like maybe like the power rankings go. The South Carolina schedule may end up putting them behind Tennessee, maybe a head-to-head win. I still would pick South Carolina, but that schedule for South Carolina put maybe more losses on that in their loss column than say a team like Tennessee. But as far as power rankings go, I'd still have to put Tennessee behind, maybe even with Kentucky with everything they lost. I want to see how Kentucky rebounds after that, after a very successful season and losing all the pieces that they have. But for sure, I'd still put Tennessee behind Missouri and South Carolina.
Gator Ron says, ask Dave if he believes that Franks is the third best quarterback in the SEC. He said he'd seen a couple of articles that had Franks only behind Alabama and Georgia starting quarterbacks. And do you think he'll turn pro if he has a good year?
I think he's going after this year no matter what, Bill. I think if he has the type of season where people think he does take that next step, and so I think he's proven enough. He's been at Florida long enough. He's been in college football long enough that I think he will personally want to take that next step and try his luck in the NFL. If the season doesn't necessarily go as planned, then I think it's time to move on from him altogether anyway. Go ahead and get the quarterbacks that Dan Mullen's recruited to get them in and see, you know, what that type of quarterback can do with Dan Mullen. So I think this is Felipe Franks, barring injury, his last season pretty much in a Gator uniform. That's just kind of a lot of speculation there. You know, nothing set in stone. As far as being the third best quarterback in the SEC, I mean, you can make an argument. I mean, it's clear it's Tua and Fromm. Those are the top two. There's no question, no doubt about that. If you want to fight for that third spot, you could throw Joe Burrow in there. You could throw Franks in there. Kelly Bryant, for what he did at Clemson, if you want to maybe put him in that category too, with everything he proved there, I'd have no problem doing that. So if you want to make the argument that Felipe Franks is the third best quarterback in the SEC, I think you can. I think a lot of it's based on projection of him taking that next step and how he ended last season. But, you know, let's not forget, it was, you know, a week after the Georgia game, so it was in November, where he got pulled for a game, and the light kind of switched on the next week versus South Carolina. So there's a lot of holdback from Felipe Franks' talk and him taking the next step because of that still kind of back half of the season collapse that he was able to bring it all back together. So a lot of people are still looking at that. But if you want to make an argument for Felipe Franks to be the third best quarterback in the SEC, I think you can and feel quite comfortable with it.
It's got to be him or Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I think so. It's those two. Those two were very similar. Franks a little better, especially as the season wore on in the run game. Burrow with a little better yards per attempt, yards per completion. But when it was all said and done, they were pretty equal quarterbacks.
And some of that would also be based on what the other teams don't have. There's a lot of question marks throughout the rest of the league at quarterback.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, Chaney, I'm really interested to see how big of a step Warren Thomas can make. With Chaney there, Kelly Bryant in the West. It is Tua. It is Burrow. Auburn, I have no idea what they're going to do with Nix and Gatewood at quarterback there. You know, this is the type of season where we're counting Auburn out before the season even starts, and it's usually the type of season where they bounce back and have a big year. So maybe we're overlooking them a little bit too much, but a lot of quarterback questions of just because of guys who left last year and new guys filling in their spots this year.
Tell everybody about Gators Breakdown, how they can get it.
You can get Gators Breakdown on news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown and all the podcasting platforms out there. Released an episode late last night, early this morning, Bill. I was just kind of looking at the ESPN article and talk about the playoff chances for Florida and a little bit of draft talk for the Gators this week.